Today is Friday, June 21st, 2019, and the time is 7:30 a.m. We have a quorum of the Audit Committee. I now call this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held April 11th, 2019. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes?
No.
Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the ayes have it, and the motion passes. A review of the agency activities. Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you. The Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner report begins on page 5, and you'll see there are three current items listed that are in progress, most of which will be concluding by September, all three of which should conclude around September the 1st. We'll update you in August on the status of those as well, but two of those are sunset management actions we're working on, and I completely expect those to be implemented by that time. And then the one above is an IT project that we're working on to improve data validation on annual reporting, and that's in progress. There's two future items listed here. One is a IT change management audit, and that's also in progress. We expect perhaps August we'll see a final report on that. And then the Texas Workforce Commission review, personnel policies and procedures review. We got the final report early this week and have been certified as in compliance. There are several best practice recommendations that we will implement. We will place that in the August packet, so you will see that at that time. That at least recognition of the in compliance. And that's all I have on outstanding items.
Okay. Okay, the banking department starts on page 7. And so under the Sunset Advisory Commission agency review, the issue about the complaint process is going to be addressed in the Finance Commission meeting after this. So we've got that listed as ongoing. On page 8, we have a recap of our DIR control penetration test, and the bottom line is that they tried to penetrate our systems and they were unable to do so. We don't have a lot of detail, obviously, in that, and wanted to inform the Audit Committee that was done. Then on page 8A, the Workforce Commission reviewed our Equal Employment Opportunity Policy Statement and found it to be sufficient. Then on page 9 starts the State Office of Risk Management operations plan, and the detail starts on page 10. They basically say, in my opinion, some nice things about the department. They mentioned a couple of complimentary items about Sammy Chadley, so that is there for your review. And as far as audit activities, that's all we have.
Okay.
Commissioner Jones? Yes, thank you. For savings and mortgage lending, beginning on page 13, audit activity. First, the sunset review, the consumer complaint rule, you will hear more about during the SML portion of the Finance Commission meeting. The Texas Workforce Commission audit is, the field work's complete. We're waiting for the report. And on the McConnell-Jones IT change management audit, that field work is set to begin next week. And then on page 14, you have the copy of the certificate for Stephen O'Shields for completion of training on the Texas Public Funds Investment Act. So that completes SML.
Okay. Next, we have the discussion of and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's 2019 second quarter financial statements.
And for the Office of the Consumer Credit Commissioner, Christina Cuellar Hope will present the second quarter financial statements.
Good morning. My name is Christina Cuellar Hope. I'm with the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner and I'm the County Manager. Our financial statements start on page 15. We are currently at 101.4% of our revenues. Our regulated lender revenue is under budget in the second quarter due to the fewer renewals being received. Our REL assessment is above budget because there is an increase in registrations beyond initial projections during the first and second quarter. Precious metals is under budget in the second quarter due to the phase transition to the annual renewal, which adjusted fee amounts during the terms. Our expenditures are 93% of the budget. Our salaries and wages expenditures are 94.4% of the projected budget. There are approximately 11 vacancies throughout the year that were vacant and some have been filled. Our travel expenditures are at 87.1% of the projected budget. Employee vacancies within the exam department have contributed to this variance, as well as travel that has not yet occurred within other departments. Development and training includes costs associated with the annual examiner meeting, which provides employees with updates regarding changes in regulation, statute, and agency policies. Our professional fee expenditures are below budget due to deferring Alex enhancements to the third and fourth quarters. Other operation is over budget due to the delay of the vendor in the delivery of some modular furniture modifications for the legal and human resource departments that were planned for fiscal year 18 but were incurred in fiscal year 19. In addition, ACE maintenance expenditures were more than expected due to additional services needed. On page 18, we have the agency liquidity report. Our assigned cash balance for future operations monthly budget is 6.77%.
Months.
Thank you. Any questions?
Now, should that go up, or is it because you're at a high point now that it'll start coming down, or?
It will be down next quarter.
Okay. That's what I figured.
Yeah, we have two peaks in the fourth quarter and then second quarter. Mm-hmm. And then the other two are lower.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But our lowest of them all will be third quarter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Yeah. Thank you. Any questions?
And it should be under six.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Any questions?
No.
Okay.
Sammy, you want to come up for the Department of Banking?
Good morning. Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. On page 19 is our operating statement for this fiscal year's second quarter. Basically, our actual revenues were at 105.9% of budget, while our expenditures were at 93.4% of actuals. On page 20 shows an overview of our budget variances for the second quarter of this fiscal year. I'll go over four items, two revenue items and two expenditure items. First, the non-bank regulation, our actual revenues were in excess of budget due to an unanticipated penalty from an unlicensed prepaid funeral contract seller. However, the next PFC assessment will be adjusted to offset this overage. Second, the miscellaneous revenues, we have variance there for the quarter and for two reasons. First, our interest payments from the Treasury are higher than anticipated and budgeted. And second, a bank enforcement order that required reimbursements for the department's investigative and litigation fees. We collected about $161,000 there. The next bank assessment will be adjusted to offset that reimbursement. Third item, under salaries and employee benefits, we have a positive variance, and that relates to vacant positions. We've had, at the end of the second quarter, we've had 18 vacancies. This item will be discussed further in the report section of the Finance Commission packet. And lastly, under professional fees and services, we had a negative variance, and it relates to a net combination of, we've had two contract IT programmers that were budgeted as full-time employees, but because we were unable to hire qualified employees from our external postings, we opted to use these contract programmers. On the other side, we had a budgeted architect expenditures that did not occur, and we had lower expenditures than budgeted for building-related council fee, outside council fees and administrative law judge fees. Any questions so far? No. Page 21 is our liquidity report. As of the end of second quarter, we're at 4.24 months. Our fourth quarter's assessments will be evaluated to manage our cash balance at the end of the year. All right. Thank you.
Okay. For savings and mortgage lending, Antonia Antoff will present the financials.
Good morning. Antonia Antoff, savings and mortgage lending. Our report starts on page 23. The budget variances are explained on page 24. Our licensing revenue, overall the revenues are 3.8% over budget. Our licensing revenues, however, are 8.2% under budget. As of the end of the second quarter, our renewals have been completely done. So we ended up at 93.6% of budget for renewals. Our new activity is at 87.3% of budget. And we're going to see similar trend in the third quarter. What we see is lower application activity for individual RMLOs, but for mortgage companies, we see an increase. But it's going to be the same trend in the third quarter. Our expenditures are at 3.6% under budget, mostly due to lower salaries and benefits due to vacancies and lower out-of-state travel. I'd be happy to explain any other variances if you have any questions on those. On page 25 is our liquidity report. We are currently at 9.8%, the 9.8 months, and this is our highest of the year. So in the third and the fourth quarter, we're going to see a decrease.
But not below 6?
I don't think so.
So do we have a plan on what we're going to do?
We're working on wrapping up the third quarter right now. And in August, we're going to know better where we stand, and we're going to be recommending some action to try to get in compliance.
Okay.
Our projection was that we're going to be at 9.6 months at the end of the second quarter, so it's pretty close, but it's we will not go under 6. And this is all I have, unless you have any questions.
No questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do I hear a motion to recommend the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2019 second quarter financial statements?
So moved.
Lori, so do I hear a second?
Second.
Hector, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Okay, discussion of the fiscal year 2020 budget process.
Okay, on page 27 gives you a timeline of our budget process. Everybody is working on it now, but we'll be finalizing it in June and July. Then on August the 1st, the budget drafts will be posted to the website and submitted to the Finance Commission members. Then we will have our public meeting on August the 13th. Where we, I think we've done that, about 4 or 5 years now, where we discuss the draft budget and get public input. And then at the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting on the 15th and 16th, depending on when we have the Audit Committee, we will present the final draft for y'all for approval. So the process starts again. Any questions?
Next, we have the report on activities relating to the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund.
Thank you. We'd like to introduce Deandra Sullivan, who's our financial education specialist. And Deandra's going to give our walk us through the activities and then on through the other items.
Hi, yes. Deandra Sullivan with the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. And we will look at page 29. We are currently in the 2018-19 TV grant cycle with our 9 grant recipients in their third reimbursement reporting period. This reporting period will end at the end of June, and reports will be due at the end of July. To date, we have reimbursed over $99,000 to these 9 grantees who have serviced over 20,000 Texans so far. Grant activities for this series, for this cycle, are running smoothly. In preparation for the 2021 TV grant cycle, the GAC and I met by phone conference on May 17th to discuss initial planning for the upcoming cycle. During that meeting, the GAC reviewed the grant application, the grant manual, reimbursement templates, and the reviewer score sheet, and determined that only minor changes to sentence structure and word choice on application and the grant reviewer score sheet were necessary. So no program policy updates were made during the upcoming cycle. We will be posting the application 60 days prior to the September 20th due date in order to allow applicants ample time to prepare the application and have it submitted. Are there any questions?
Okay.
Okay.
I think we're ready for the item F then.
Okay. We'll move on to page 30. And in preparation for that 2021 TV grant cycle, the Finance Commission approves funding priorities for each grant cycle. On page 30, you will see a complete list of all eligible priorities that may be considered. Items 6, 7, 8, and 10 are bolded because they have been selected for the previous grant cycles. These funding priorities provide a diverse group of applicants and program types, and therefore we are recommending that we continue to prioritize the bolded items. And I will read them for you. They're the adult, school, and youth-based financial literacy and capability, teacher training programs that increase educational awareness for adult and youth, financial coaching and consumer counseling, and also one-on-one financial counseling.
I think I'd just add another comment is that these seem to be the priorities that have yielded a fairly significant impact of the choices. I think the commission made a good decision in selecting these in the previous cycles, and that's why we recommended that we continue with those same funding priorities for the upcoming cycle. But obviously the commission could decide to include others if they wish, but those were our recommendations.
So the only thing that I highlighted was number 5.
Yeah.
and I might be naive or whatever, but I kind of envision, because we have so much in there and we're making so much interest on it, is if there is a way to, you know, encourage the banks, because it looks like it's relates to the banks, you know, to have like matching deposits or something like that to encourage savings.
Well, and you can also combine that with number 9 if you wanted to get financial lending institutions more involved in our process. You could go with the two of those and combine them.
And I think, to tell you the truth, the banks do number 9 anyway, don't they?
When they're doing CRA kind of thing?
But yeah.
Well, number 5 and number 9 are done. I mean, the question is, if the goal is to encourage savings and yet you're talking about the unbanked, well, that's somewhat of an oxymoron. So it's more about learning the banking system and learning how to maintain proper accounts, and I think the banks do a good job of that. Now, there's also, you know, there is access to free accounts, so it's more of the outreach and making sure that's done. And yes, through CRA and just corporate philosophies, I think the banks are doing that already. So
I get you.
You know, number 5 is both number 5 and number 9 are done. I mean, they truly are. Now, how they're tracked is a different story. I'm not sure if the commissioner could help us on that, how they're tracked.
Yeah, and Commissioner Cooper may have more to add to that, but I guess one of the questions boils down to is do we as organizations, the Finance Commission and its agencies, support that activity through other means? I mean, is this really a grant-funded kind of activity, or is it more appropriately done through the financial education programs at the Department of Banking or the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner? I think it may have been indirectly impacted in some of the financial coaching, because certainly the recipients the grantees that are receiving, organizations that are receiving grant funds are counseling people and encouraging them to open these accounts and find these matching funds and do some of those things. So I think it happens sort of in that, from the other direction.
That
but
yeah.
Yeah, maybe that is our role, to continue to train people to go to the banks, because there is this availability of
That would be more appropriate in this context.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, thanks for that. Okay. Any other comments or? Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve TP 2020-21 funding priorities?
So moved.
Lori?
And a second.
Hector? Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it, the motion passes.
Okay. If we'll turn to page 31, we will move on to item G, the appointment of the new Grant Advisory Committee member. As you may know, we have had one vacancy on our Grant Advisory Committee, and in working to fill that vacancy, I spoke with GAC member Laura Rosen, who introduced me to Roy Lopez at a financial literacy summit here in Austin a few months back. In speaking with Roy, I learned about his background in community development at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. He also has experience in financial education and a large group of nonprofit organizations in his area that he has in his network. His biography is available on the next page if you want to read a little bit more. In speaking with Roy, he expressed interest in learning about TIFI and how he could help the program, and we think that he would be a valuable asset to the committee and an active member. We are recommending that Roy fill the financial education consultant position on the Grant Advisory Committee.
Okay. I'll make a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the appointment of Roy Lopez as a Grant Advisory Committee member. Do I have a second?
Second.
Hector, any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Okay, next, keep going, you're on a roll.
On page 33, we will find item H, the recommendation for approval for an amount for grant awards for the 2021 grant cycle. In preparation of that 2021 TIFI grant cycle, we reviewed the TIFI fund financials and provided an update. On page 33, you will find the chart that depicts the current status of the fund. This chart includes all deposits, including those from SML since inception, and depicts fourth quarter earnings from each fiscal year, excluding our current fiscal year. The cash fund has now reached $1.3 million, and the investment has reached $5.7 million. We are estimating making a transfer by the end of the fiscal year. The Finance Commission has awarded nearly $750,000 to the grantees, and all reimbursements have been made from the cash. In preparation for the 2021 grant cycle, Texas Treasury Safekeeping Trust Company provided fund distribution estimations that estimated by the year 2020, the fund would generate around $105,000 each year. The grant cycle runs on a two-year program. If you double those earnings, you're going to get $210,000 for that two-year cycle. The Finance Commission has approved $250,000 for the previous cycle, with excluding the second that was $249,000. And therefore, we are recommending the approval of $250,000 for grant awards in the 2021 grant cycle. Okay, if I can answer any questions, I'd be happy.
Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve $250,000?
You know, I'd like to have a little bit of discussion of maybe increasing that to $300,000, using some of the money that came in from SML. And the reasoning behind that is we have some grantees who we feel are doing a lot to reach the community. And we try and move this money to different grantees, and maybe part of the new philosophy should be to focus on those that are doing really well and continue to fund them and maybe increase their funding instead of trying to minimize a lot of grants to a lot of grantees. So maybe have a $50,000 excess that if we find some of our grantees that are doing exceptionally well, to provide them a little bit more money going forward to make more of an impact, and so that we are their sponsors, because it's difficult. We get all these grantees, we give small amounts, and then we analyze that certain ones are doing better, but they don't have enough money to expand their programs. So we get stuck a bit in trying to reach broader grantees or more grantees instead of focusing, being able to focus on some that are really unique and really making a difference, and not part of the Goodwills, but some of the smaller ones.
So would you do that ahead of time? Would you have like an unallocated 50? Is that what you're saying? Or are you saying that people can apply for more?
I don't think we should allow people to apply for more. I think, though, sometimes we get, and we have, a couple times we've said, well, we've given to them before, so we're going to carve them out and not give to them again. And maybe we should be, in addition to expanding our grantee base. So it's really probably the committee to talk about more and talk more about philosophies. And should we select those grantees who are really making a difference and have the ability to provide more to them, or at least provide what their grant request is? Because frequently we take all the grant requests and we say, well, we're going to give less to all of them because we want to make a difference.
What was the number of requests that we had? What percentage of the institutions or folks that requested the grants were actually awarded a grant?
Oh, gosh.
I would like to say that we had 21 applicants this last grant cycle, and we awarded 9 of them.
So a significant percentage.
Right, and the grant ask needs to be between $5,000 and $40,000, and our range this cycle was $16,000 to $33,000, and we have actually not awarded a $40,000 grant award.
And the 21 applicants, how does that reflect prior cycles? Is it more, is it less?
We're always around the same amount, maybe 5 more, but within 5.
As we contend, the work continues to spread, it creeps up a little bit, but that's a pretty small amount.
I think, too, if we have more money available and certain grantees know that we can give up to their full amount if they're really performing, it's more incentive for them to apply for the grants, because we have had comments that it's really a tedious process to go through. And there's a line that they say, well, it's not worth my applying because it's too tedious for me to administer what they're requesting. And so if we had a little bit more money to give to ones that we really want to keep in the cycle, I guess is the thinking. It would be helpful. And I just think 300 is a good amount with the money that we've gotten from SML. And I don't know if we'll continue to get that, but we did get $1.4 million some. I know you and I looked it up, but it was.
How long have we had it?
Both cycles.
The first cycle was $250,000. The second was $249,000, and then we're back to $250,000.
Which we'll come close to hitting the $1 million mark with this next round.
Right. If all of the grant recipients utilize 100% of their funding, then we will just be $13,000 short of hitting our million mark with the $250,000 if that were to be approved.
So what motion do you want to make?
Oh, I'd like to make a motion that we approve $300,000 for this cycle.
Okay.
With more focus on those grantees who have really performed, and we would like for them to continue in our grant cycles.
Would there be two different motions?
I don't know. Maybe.
You want a commensurate increase? The level of person per candidate or per applicant to go from 40 to 50 as well, or not necessarily?
I don't think at this time we should do that. I don't think we should increase what we're saying is available for each grantee.
So basically, but make an outreach to have more folks go out there.
So I have a motion.
I have a second.
All right. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it, and the motion passes. There being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned, and the time is 8:00.
Yay.
Wow.
We rock. Woo.